Turn your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 17. And as you're turning there, share a little something with you. It's called It's Time to Go to School. Early one morning, a lady went to wake up her son. "Wake up, son, it's time to go to school," she said. The son replied, "But Mom, I don't want to go." Mom said, "Give me two reasons why you don't want to go." The son said, "Well, the kids hate me for one, and the teachers hate me for the other." Mom said, "That's no reason not to go to school. Come on now, get up, start getting ready." The son said, "Give me two reasons why I should go to school." Mom said, "Well, for one, you're 52 years old, and the other, you're the principal." Hopefully y'all got that. Again, I want to wish every mom here today a very happy and blessed Mother's Day. For me, I'm blessed to have my mom with me today. Amen. And it's a double blessing to be her pastor as well as her son. Amen. I want to read some Mother's Day quotes that have been handed down through the centuries. There's a Jewish proverb that says, "A mother understands what a child does not say." How true is that? An unknown proverb says, "Mom is the bank where we deposit all of our hurts and worries." Another unknown, "The best medicine in the world is a mother's kiss." Mrs. Jordan said, "Mom is a person who's seen there are only four pieces of pie left and five people, says, I never did care for pie anyway." And the last proverb says, "When it comes to love, Mom is the word." Amen. I want to share a typical night for moms. Moms, I know you're going to relate to this. This is a typical night for moms. Mom and Dad were watching TV when Mom said, "I'm getting a little tired and it's getting late. I think I'll go to bed." So she went to the kitchen to make some sandwiches for the next day's lunches. She rinsed out some bowls in the sink, took meat out of the freezer for tomorrow's dinner, checked the cereal box levels, filled the sugar bowl, put spoons and bowls on the table, and set the timer on the coffee pot for the next morning. She then put some wet clothes into the dryer, put a load of clothes into the wash, ironed a shirt, and sewed on a loose button. She picked up the newspapers that were all over the floor, picked up the game pieces left on the table, and put a roll of tape back into the junk drawer. She watered the plants, emptied a waste basket, hung up a towel to dry. She yawned and stretched and headed for the bedroom. She stopped by the desk and wrote a note to the teacher, counted out some money for the field trip, and pulled a textbook out from hiding under the chair. She signed a birthday card for a friend, addressed it and stamped the envelope, and wrote a quick reminder for the grocery store. Mom then moisturized her face, brushed her teeth, and trimmed her nails. The hubby called out, "I thought you were going to bed." "I'm on my way," she said. She put some water into the dog's dish and then made sure the doors were locked. She looked in on each of the kids and turned on a nightlight, hung up a shirt, threw some dirty socks in the hamper, and had a brief conversation with the one still up doing homework. In her own room, she set the alarm, laid out clothes for the next day, and then added five things on her list of things to do for tomorrow. About that time, the hubby turned off the TV and announced to no one in particular, "I'm going to bed," and he did. Moms, you can certainly relate to that. Amen. If there is one attitude that every family is guilty of, more than any other attitude when it comes to mom, it's presumption. Amen. Taking mom for granted. don't we? We've all done it. We're all guilty of it. It's turning a blind eye too often to the load that moms carry. Amen? Now, praise God that we do have a national day of honor for all moms. Amen. I don't think one covers it enough, do you? But Mother's Day, I don't know if most of you understand the history of Mother's Day, but Mother's Day was started back in 1907 by a lady named Anna Jarvis. Now, Mrs. Jarvis wanted to honor her mother, who had passed, by wearing a single white carnation. That white carnation was her mom's favorite flower. Others quickly began to follow in her footsteps. So Anna Jarvis finally convinced President Woodrow Wilson to make Mother's Day a national holiday. And from there, it has grown to where it is celebrated all around the entire globe. Now, as a little side note, as the years passed, Anna Jarvis became a little bit upset. She became very vocal against how commercialized that Mother's Day had become. Her intent was for a day of somber, quiet reflection and thankfulness. She became intensely upset at the mass-produced greeting cards. She hated greeting cards. Her quote, "They are a poor excuse for personal letters that we are too lazy to write." And today, there'll be over 150 million Mother's Day cards handed out around the world. It's a lot of laziness, amen. Now, most of these Mother's Day cards, if you've fished through them and looked at them, they all have kind of the same theme. Mom, forget the housework today. It's your day, amen? Besides, you can do twice as much tomorrow to catch up. Now, I came across one that kind of caught my eye. It had three moms bragging about their sons. The first mom said, "My son took me to a 5-star restaurant for Mother's Day, and they sent a live quartet to serenade us." The second mom said, "That's nothing. My son sent me on a 10-day all-expense-paid cruise through the Caribbean." The third mom said, "My son tops all those gifts. He's been paying a psychiatrist $300 an hour for the last 10 years, and all they talk about the entire time is me." Now, I would not recommend you get that one for mom, amen? But this morning, I want to give mom some encouragement from the Word of God, because I believe that moms have the hardest and most demanding job in the entire world, amen? Turn your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 17. Now, I know a lot of moms that know the Bible out there, they're probably giving a sigh of relief that we're not going to Proverbs chapter 31, amen? Proverbs 31 is the text about the virtuous woman, how it outlines the perfect mom, the perfect wife. I don't know about you, but that's not the best passage for encouragement for moms. Amen. There was a preacher that confessed, a lady in his congregation after 10 years came up to him and said, "You know, after Mother's Day, every single day, every single Mother's Day for the last 10 years, I've gone home depressed." And he said, "Why is that?" He says, "Because you keep preaching from Proverbs chapter 31 and I can't compare." But this virtuous woman in Proverbs 31 tells us that she made her own clothing, she bought property, she planted a vineyard, she gave to the poor, and she worked late into the night. How could any mom compare? Amen. Now, the key to understanding Proverbs 31, number one, don't get discouraged, moms. And the key is verse 15. It's often overlooked. And verse 15 of Proverbs chapter 31 tells us that this mom, this virtuous woman, this perfect wife, you know what her secret was? She had a house full of handmaids. Amen. That's something that most pastors overlook and they don't bring up very often. That mom had a house full of handmaids. And I know my wife was saying, sign me up. Amen. So let's get back to 1 Kings chapter 17. Now, a little bit of backstory here. The Bible tells us here in chapter 17 that there is a great drought and a great famine throughout the land. And God leads his prophet Elijah to a single mom. Now this single mom, she's a widow. She's struggling to raise her son on her own. Now I don't know about you, but I can't think of a much harder place to be, a much harder situation to be in than that of a single mom, let alone in the middle of an incredibly great famine. And regardless of how it came to be, you know, it's hard enough to raise children with a mom and a dad. Amen? All parents, we can relate to that for sure. It's hard enough to raise children with both a mom and dad present. But my heart goes out to single moms. And again, no matter how it came to be, whether it was from the death of the spouse, from being a widow, whether a result of a separation or a divorce, or just the fact that dad is just not around. Call it whatever title you want, I call it a deadbeat. Amen. No matter how it came about, my heart certainly goes out to those single moms. Let's pick up, skipping down to verse 8, 1 Kings chapter 17. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup, that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin, and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple sticks, that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. Pretty sad situation. Amen. You can't help but hear this mom's anguish and the desperation in her voice as she's down to the last drop of food, not just for herself, but also for her son. She has no money, down to that last bit of flour and oil, last drop of food, but the demands of life for her and her son, they don't stop, do they? Amen. And as if that weren't enough, now this prophet of God shows up at her front door. What's he looking for? Something to eat and drink. Think about that for a moment. Can only imagine what she was going through. Can only imagine the conflict that was in her heart and her mind. How she must have struggled with, what should I do? Amen. How many of us would have done like when the Jehovah's Witnesses knock, they go and hide and stay out of sight, right? But look at verse 13. Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me. And afterward, make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry, until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went away and did according to the word. See that there? She didn't hesitate. She didn't make excuses. The Bible says that she just did. She went and did according to the word. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. This widow, this single mom, did all that she could. She didn't have any resources. She didn't have any money. She did the only thing that she could by faith. She obeyed the word of God as spoken through Elijah the prophet. Amen. And what happened? God did what only God can do. Amen. He stretched that flour and he stretched that oil to the point where they all ate for days. This is what I call the principle of cooperation. And we can see it a little more clearly in the book of Romans, chapter 6. Skipping down to verse 16. The Apostle Paul wrote, he said, "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death, or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered." Now we need to understand that over time, the way that God provides will absolutely change. Amen? And from situation to situation. Share a little testimony. Back 20 years ago, when I first became pastor of this church, there were, I believe, 5 people in the pews. Maybe 6. And I kept looking at the roof on this church. And it was the original roof from 1975, and it was starting to curl and buckle. And I just said, "Lord, you're going to have to take care of this one." 2 months later, God sends a hurricane up the East Coast. You know how we get the hurricanes that just come up the coast, give us a lot of wind and rain, blew off a bunch of our shingles, and the insurance man came and wrote us a check for a brand new roof. Amen. Now, in 100 years, I wouldn't have imagined that God would have delivered us, would have granted us a brand new roof via a hurricane. Amen. But that's just how God does it. How God provides will change from situation to situation and from time over time. And maybe you're not a single mom, but you're still struggling. Maybe you have children that are lost and that are wayward, tied up in this world. Maybe you're a mom struggling with physical issues. Or maybe you're a mom struggling financially with your family. Those circumstances, those situations may be different, but that principle remains the same. Trust and obey, and God will provide. Amen. His faithfulness never fails. Solomon, in his great wisdom, he said that God's mercies are renewed upon us how often? Every morning. Amen. Great is thy faithfulness. God's faithfulness will never fail, even though ours will fail. No matter how difficult things may be right now, no matter how deep your needs may be, moms, you need to understand that God has not forgotten you. Amen. What you truly need, God will surely provide. Amen. Need to remember that. Abraham Lincoln. Many may or some may not know, but Abraham Lincoln was born in deep poverty. Born into deep poverty. This is what he said. He said, "He is not poor nor destitute who has a godly mother." How wonderful is that? Now, this widow's son, I'm sure he felt the same way that day. Amen. When she simply went and did according to the word of the Lord. Moms, the Bible is full of great example of encouragement after encouragement. And yes, that even includes Proverbs chapter 31. You see, God never intended for you to compare yourself to that virtuous woman. Instead, you need to look at what is being said to whom and by whom. In Proverbs chapter 31, we need to realize that chapter 31 is King Solomon's praise to his mother. It's his tribute to the wonderful example that his mother set for him. I'm going to reference real quick Proverbs 31:1. Listen to what it says. It says, "The words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him." Now, at first glance, you may be saying, well, I don't know who King Lemuel is. And if you look back through the history of Israel's kings, guess who you'll never find? King Lemuel. You know why? Lemuel in the Hebrew simply means belonging to God. Now, I believe that this is King Solomon's mom, Bathsheba. I believe that is her special name for her son. She called him Lemuel, belonging to God. And this was her special name for him. And this was his tribute to his godly mother. Now, I know some of you are thinking, Bathsheba. The account I remember, she wasn't so godly, was she? Right? We know Bathsheba was the lady whom had an affair with King David. And out of that adulterous affair came a child. And ultimately, through that affair, her husband, Uriah, was murdered. And that child, conceived by King David and Bathsheba, eventually died. The tragic story. There's no doubt about it. But even with her past, she repented. She put her past behind her. She gave her heart to the Lord. And she worked hard to be a godly example to her children. And we need to understand that Proverbs chapter 31 is that testimony of her. And we need to also understand that a shady past does not negate your ability to live and leave a godly legacy to your children. Amen? We all have a past, don't we? We all have things that we've done that wish we hadn't. We've all been places we wished we didn't go. But praise God for His grace, His mercy, and His forgiveness. And the precious blood of Jesus Christ that covers our past. Amen. And Proverbs chapter 31. That is Solomon's mom. That is Bathsheba's testimony. Through the eyes of her son, King Solomon. Moms, I hope now that you understand the backstory. That you can read that Proverbs and find encouragement in it. Amen. Instead of discouragement. So today we're here on Mother's Day. A day that we set aside to honor every mom, the matriarch of our family. Now I want you to think of that word family for a minute. Some of you may feel that your family is a complete mess up. Your family is just a complete mess. Amen. Some may feel guilty of how you treated your family. And some of you may feel angry about how your family has treated you. Maybe many of you feel a little bit guilty. You feel that you failed your family in some way or another. Many dads I know that I counsel through the years feel that they failed their family. They failed to spend enough time with their family. Moms feel that they have failed in the way that they raised their children and how their children ended up turning out. And then the children themselves, the sons, the daughters, feel that they failed by not doing as much as they could for their family. So no doubt, family stirs up great emotions for all of us. Amen. Emotions of joy and laughter and comfort for many, but also emotions of guilt and regret. But I want to offer some encouragement this morning. Amen. God holds family in very high regard. How high? We need to understand that God instituted the family before he even established his church. Amen. All the way back in the book of Genesis, God established marriage, and with that marriage unit, he established family. That's how highly God regards family. He established it even before he established his church. But also in his perfect wisdom, he understands our imperfections. He knows our flaws. And he knew how our sins would affect our family. So he did something extraordinary. He did something unexplainable. Through the sacrifice of his precious Son, Jesus Christ, on Calvary, he has given us, through his precious blood, an extended family. Amen. The family of God. And with those nail-scarred hands open wide, he is inviting each and every one of us to come and join his family. Amen. How wonderful is that? Matthew chapter 12. Jesus answered and said, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And he stretched out his hand toward his disciples. And he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." No matter where your biological family may be, no matter what condition it's in, everybody thinks their family is the only dysfunctional family in the earth. Every family is dysfunctional, amen, because we're all sinners. That's what we need to understand. But no matter what condition your family is in, when you are here among this body, in this church, these brothers and sisters in Christ, they are your family. Amen. And this family loves you dearly and cares deeply for you. Now, I thank God for the family that God gave me at birth. But I also praise God for my church family that he gave me when I was born again. Amen. Now, moms, I know many of you are here today and you're carrying a lot of guilt. Guilt that you ought not to carry. Guilt of, only if I had done this or I had done that differently, maybe my son or my daughter would have turned out differently. But I want you to listen closely. And I want you to look up here. And I want you to look behind me. And I want you to see that empty cross. You see, it was on that cross where Jesus nailed all of our guilt, all of our burdens, all of our failures, our entire past, nailed to his cross every single sin. And he washed them all away with his precious blood. Amen. Now I want you to notice something here. It's an empty cross, isn't it? Do you know why it's empty? because all of our sins are gone forever. Amen. Praise God for that. We need to understand that Abraham Lincoln's mother, she wasn't perfect. George Washington's mother, she wasn't perfect. Billy Graham's mother wasn't perfect. Solomon's mother, we know she wasn't perfect. But by the grace of God, their children turned out okay. Amen. Those mothers did what they could. They put all their trust and they obeyed the word of God. And moms, that is your obligation going forward, is simply to trust and obey. Amen. Just trust and obey.